Yeah, I'm feeling good right now. It's just one of them days where, yeah, I'm feeling good right now. It's just one of them days where everything going right. Everybody come together, let's go, yo. Come together, let them days where I'm feeling good right now. It's just one of them days where everything going right. Everybody come together, let's go. Yeah.
I'd like to keep this vibe throughout the day, if that's okay.
Live on the air, Discovery Paranormal. We are getting closer to Thanksgiving. In fact, a couple days away. Today is Tuesday. Thanksgiving is Thursday, of course. So I want to discuss with you guys tonight. We're going to talk about losing a loved one, number one, and dealing with the grief, especially during the holidays. Losing a loved one and dealing with the grief is tough enough. And I'm saying this could be a family member, a friend. This could be a pet, you know, because some people love their dogs and cats or whatever. And then you realize such a long time, and you spend time with that pet, it becomes part of your family. I know people that refer to their pets as their kids, you know. So that too, dealing with that void, dealing with that sorrow, that sadness, that depression, and it's such a void because you have so much love in that person or that being. You put so much into it. They put so much into you, you know. And all of a sudden, they're like taken from you, snatched. They're gone. And then you feel that emptiness. You feel that just that kick right in your gut where it knocks you down. You don't want to get up. You don't want to do anything. You close yourself off, you know. And then this is natural. It's natural for people to feel that. It's natural to people to feel that because we're human beings that have love in our hearts. And we want to love. And we want to be loved. Sometimes we put a lot of love into someone and they don't give us the same thing. Sometimes it's the opposite, you know. But no matter what, it comes down to that loss. Now, in addition to that, you know, I know a lot of people that get visited for the holidays by loved ones that have passed away, even animals. You know, it's kind of interesting to hear their stories. And I have a collection of them. You know, I love listening to people talk about these things. I mean, I'm a paranormal investigator. I'm also a private investigator, and I like to ask questions and get answers. And I love a good conversation, you know. I never refuse coffee and good conversation, right? People tell me their stories, and I love to hear them. Because they're always different. They're always dealing with a situation that's due with love. I mean, if it's the holidays especially, you think that these spirits have passed over and energy doesn't die. And science has proven that. Energy doesn't die. It transforms. It moves around, right? So do you think that if you died 10 minutes from now, that you wouldn't want to be around your loved ones that are still here for the holidays, that you wouldn't want to visit and join in those festivities and be around people who are laughing and feeling good? Of course you would. Would you want to be around people if they're sitting there down in the dumps and depressed and, you know, hating on themselves for whatever reason? But, I mean, when someone loses someone, people tend to blame themselves for all kinds of stuff. I mean, like, nothing to do with their death. I'm saying things that you reflect on that you think you could have done better in life with that person or done better for that person or things that you could have said differently or things that you didn't want to say or at least you could take back. Words are like that, man. Once words are out there, you can't take them back. But all that means nothing. to that person that passed over. They're not thinking about that. They're not thinking about the physical realm. They're not even thinking about if you're going to be with somebody else, that if you fall in love with somebody else or give yourself to somebody else. And I know a lot of people that had their monster love, and that monster love had passed over, had crossed over, right? And you know, I mean, you look at them, you know in your heart that, yeah, they might find someone, they might be with someone, they might get jiggy with it with someone at some point, for sure. I mean, you don't want to go live in a cave, but that love, that inexhaustible, unbelievable monster love, sometimes when you give that, that's it. You're not getting it back. You don't have it back to give, you know? That's that person that crossed over. That's that person that you think about. So dealing with that void, oh, my God, it's rough. And your dog, let's say it's just you living in your house with your dog. Dog, man, you have the dog over 10 years. You love the dog. It loves you. You eat together. You play together. You do everything. You wake up together. You go to sleep together. All of a sudden, it's gone. Your whole life changes. I've seen people that were older people that lost their animal, that lost their pet, and then they didn't live too much after that because they didn't have something to love. And that's sad. And, yeah, they can go out and get another one or whatever. You know what? It's never the same either. So how do you deal with that loss? The first thing you have to do, even if you don't want to do it, is to get out of your house and go be with people. And I'm not saying go be with people that went through the same stuff that you're going through. There's great support groups out there, and I'll never condemn them, because I think initially when you're feeling that grief, you definitely want to be around people in a support group who are also feeling that type of thing. But at some point, it's going to be a heavy weight for you to bear that you don't need. And it's better to be around positive people in that angle. It's better to be around people who, you know, will understand where you're coming from, but in the same sense, want to live. Because, like, I do a television show. It's on YouTube and it's around the way. And it's called American Ghost Hunters. And I always say the show isn't about death. The show is about life. And the show is a showcase on how to live your life. You know, don't let things hold you back. Don't have those regrets. So whether you end a bad relationship or somebody dies, whatever, when they're out of your life, there's a void that you have to fill. And it might not be a void you want to fill. So then the holidays come. And I have a few friends right now going through this right now, who lost people within this last year. One of my friends lost his love a couple of days before Thanksgiving. You know how freaking hard that is? And how hard it is watching someone that you love suffer so much and relive these memories, relive these feelings, and know where he should be. He should, that his girl should be in his arms, and that's it. She's gone. And he's got to live with that. He's got to do Thanksgiving. He's got to do all the holidays. He's got to do Christmas. This Christmas is heavy, man. You know, for a long time, I resented Christmas. I resented Thanksgiving, too. I thought it was a disgrace to Native Americans, because the whole story of Thanksgiving, or the stories which made a culmination of what Thanksgiving is really basked in blood. And for a long time, I did Thai food, Chinese food. I boycotted Thanksgiving, the hypocrisy of it. So you're talking to someone, or you're listening to someone talk, that is pretty well-versed in the rejection of the crap from mankind, you know. So the heaviness of the holidays, man, even if you, let's say that you're just somebody who is quite all right. You're okay. You have a lot of money coming in, nice life, nice family life, and all that. That's good for you. That's great. I'm glad. That's not most people. Most people are suffering through stuff. Most people You know, if there's a top 1%, there's a bottom 99%. Most people are just living their lives. They got financial stuff, they got life stuff, they got kids. The kids are little people. And those little people get a lot of problems really fast, especially in this world that we're in. Then you have to deal with life and death misery. You have to deal with people becoming horribly ill, cancer, sickness, and whatever. There's families that have to deal with this, that go through this every day. And the best thing you can do is to show people, one, that you care, even asking them, hey, how's it going? How's your day? Or, you know, how's your mom? How's your dad? Whatever. And then number two, if someone's going through something terrible, be there for them, but don't be their crutch. Be there for them and understand that, man, they're feeling it. They lost the love of their life, and now they have to go through this. And you know what? Yeah, you're not going to get over it by Thanksgiving or Christmas. Christmas. Really? It was a pagan holiday, and they made it into a whole different thing. And now it's all about money. And don't tell me it's not about money. Because anybody out there that says Christmas is about money, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Christmas is all about money. Money, 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 money. And whatever you got, Christmas is going to take it. You know? There's other religions that don't celebrate Christmas. You know what I mean? But they all have something where people put their hand out around the end of December. You know? And then kids today, everything that they want costs $400. So don't tell me there's no misery. But for the people out there that actually lost loved ones, for the people out there that are going through the holidays, you have to be, it's good to be with family. It's good to be with people that actually knew those people and loved them too. And you don't talk about them so much, but you talk about them enough where you feel like they're around. And spiritually, they're going to be around. There's no reason for them not to be around, really. You know? And I know a lot of people that have what I call visitations around the holidays, around special events. Could be a birthday, could be a wedding anniversary. But in their twilight sleep, in their dreams, you know, they have visitations that are very real, experiences that are very real, that are very solid to them. Like they feel like they were there. They feel like they were touched in some way. So the best way to initiate that kind of dream is before you go to sleep, you want to think about that person. And think about the good moments. You don't think about the bad moments because nobody wants to be around that kind of negativity. You think about the great moments, you know, the moments that stand out so big in your mind of what's so important. And it could be the smallest little thing. It could be something tiny. It could be something, you know, like, oh, man, like my friend Robin Palmer, right? This guy, I wasn't friends with him for a long time because he was opposite the political beliefs that I believed in, even though at one time he believed in the same stuff I believed in. This is the guy that got naked and served the pig's head to Pat Moynihan on a silver platter with a bunch of his friends who got naked back in the day, you know. He was part of the Weathermen. They bombed federal buildings, and he went to prison for it. But then there was a lot of old revolutionaries like that around Ithaca, New York, and that's where I am. Cornell University is here, and he had Cornell ties to his parents and that type of thing. So, but it wasn't really towards the end. It was like towards the end where he and I became friends. He had gotten cancer. And we would sit there and talk for a long time about just life and stuff and whatever. And he always told me that he respected what I did and I should keep doing it and, you know, that type of thing, fight the power. So when he passed away, I did a memorial for him on the air, on TV, you know. And his wife, I had live call-ins, you know, so people who knew him could call in and talk about it. So his wife had called in, Mimi. And Mimi was telling stories about Robin and all that. And she said, you know, what she'll miss the most is that when he used to shine her shoes, like at night, and then she'd wake up to these nice, shiny shoes, you know? And it's that stuff that people miss. It's that stuff that you don't have anymore. And how do you fill that void? You never do. Mimi could never fill that void. of the things that Robin, that little tiny thing that people would say, oh, it's just cute, whatever, it's a little thing. But to her, it was the biggest thing. And that's life, man. The little things are important. The big things are always important. But really, the little things. You know, you can't forget about the little things, because that's what makes up life. And when you love someone and they love you, they're going to do those little things for you. Stuff that you acknowledge. Stuff that you know, man, that's dear to your heart. That, wow, this person really loves me. Someone who's going to do this little thing I never asked them to do, and here they are doing it. You know? So that's the hard part. And I never lost a loved one in that way. I mean, you know, family members, yeah, and that type of thing. I'm saying like a mate, a significant other, a woman in my life that, you know, is not there anymore in that sense. You know what I mean? You break up with people and that type of thing. And dying is a lot different, obviously, you know. I mean, that's just a final, they're gone. You know what I mean? And then the world that I've learned in the paranormal world is that they're there. There's a connection there. They may not be as physical as you need them to be, but they're there. They may not be there on a day-to-day, and you wake up and you have coffee together and you get naked and you have fun and whatever. No, but they're there. And they're at a different level, on a different plane, but they're there watching over you. They're there for you. You know, there's an investigation that I did down in Corning. And this couple had just moved into a cabin, and the guy's up on top of the roof working, putting in a stove pipe. They're putting in a potbelly stove, right? He's not feeling well. He comes inside. He sits down, cracks open a beer, and had a massive heart attack and died. Pretty young, early 30s. The couple, nice people, you know. So thereafter, the woman there was experiencing shadow figures and, you know, things like the bed was shaking. It was, the bed they had was made of a tree. It was like the guy took a tree trunks, and made this bed. It took six of us even to move the bed a little bit. So it wasn't like the bed could shake. It wasn't like it could tumble around, you know? And it was like a few things had happened, like the bed shook, and then it had distracted her, and then the front porch on the house fell down, and she was about to walk out there, so she's thinking like it saved her. You know, so a few things had happened like that. Anyway, we go in with Nicole Berardi-Riott, a great medium, Peter Canellis, who I do the investigations with primarily, you know, Pete and I, the core, anyway, and we bring other people in here and there. So we go into this place, middle of nowhere in Corning, so not even cell phone coverage. I mean, like, right there on the Corning, South Corning, Corning-Pennsylvania border. The next road over was Pennsylvania. Middle of nowhere. And at one time, this place was a stagecoach stop. There was actually a couple doors down. There was some old, like, at one time it was a country store type of thing. And it was stagecoach stop. Okay? So we're there doing our investigation. Nicole, she starts getting an Indian, some Native American, and full headdress, called the chief, hanging out, a little girl running around, like all these spirits, right? And then, you know, a lot of times with age coaches, man, if somebody was sick or whatever, they would leave them off at these places, and they would, like, die, you know? So, anyway, she finds this dude also, this guy, his name is Franz. She finds him, and he starts talking to her, because Nicole's a medium. She could talk to them, hear them, see them, the whole bit. And he starts talking about love, and he loves his life, his wife, and he's not. And he actually was a fan of ghost hunting. He used to watch Ghost Hunters on TV, and he was laughing about it, that he never thought he'd be the one that some paranormal investigators would be coming to talk to him. So he had a pretty good sense of humor about himself. And we had a lot of great action through we had the K2 going at that time. This is the early days. So we had a K2, a tried and true K2, which is just a little electronic device that we like to use. We feel they can manipulate it and get through. And we debunked as we went. We had a whole conversation through that thing. We debunked it as we went. I mean, we tried to disprove it. You know, cell phone's not on, no cell phone signals anywhere, no Wi-Fi around, nothing that can make those devices go off, right? This guy is there because of love. But he wanted, you know, through Nicole and Pete Dowsingrod, he said that he wanted his wife to go on. He wanted her to be happy. He wanted her to find somebody else and be happy. So I think they worry more about us here than we worry about them there. Because in a lot of people's minds, it's final. Oh, they're gone. But they're not gone. And then in other people's minds, they've had visitations, and then they're like, I don't know what happened. My dream was so crazy. It was so real. The other night, as a matter of fact, the other night, a couple days ago, I know so many people that had such vivid, heavy dreams, including me. It was like a movie. I wake up, take a leak, go back to sleep, and I'd be exactly where I was in the dream. That's crazy. And then people were coming to me and telling me things in these dreams, you know. But then I talked to people. I kind of put the feelers out there because I have a lot of friends who are also empaths, you know. And I'm like, you know, what kind of dreams you had last night, you know. I mean, how was it? How'd they go for you? And then they tell you. People love to talk about their dreams and their dream. You know, I had Robbie Thomas on the show. He's a great writer, a great medium. You know, he's helping a detective solve a case right now. You know, this guy wrote a book about dream interpretation. You know, it's important to understand your feelings, though, in the dream. Not necessarily the dream itself, minute by minute, but the feeling, to interpret the feelings of these dreams, you know, and then what you're going through at that time. But like I said in the beginning of the show, there are twilight dreams where if you vibrate to that level and it's a vibration and you meditate before you go to sleep, you meditate, you're thinking about that person, you're thinking about the good times you had, if they had touched you in some way, you know, physically touched your hand or hugs, you think about that. You think about that, and you're going to call to them, especially if you have something that belongs to them, a hairbrush or whatever, no matter what it is, something that they've given to you, something that belonged to them, you know. You know how people say, like, antiques are haunted all the time? And it's kind of funny, and I've had mediums tell me, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I can't believe that someone's going to die and follow their refrigerator around, you know what I mean, for eternity. That's my fridge. You can't give it away. How do you? What are you selling my fridge for? People are pissed off that their fridge going out the door. They're going to follow that refrigerator or a dining room table or a dresser. I've had people tell me that they have spirits that live in a drawer. Live in a drawer. Now, why the hell would anybody want to do that? So a lot of mediums tell me that it's not like they're there. A part of them is there. And it's like a conference call where it's there based somewhere else, but they can kind of, you know, project themselves to these different places. And they must have really liked that refrigerator. It must have given them a lot of love and joy over the years, man. You know? Who doesn't love their fridge, I guess? Because I've had people tell me that the refrigerators were haunted. Haunted refrigerators. You know? You know, and then you think, all right. At least part of these stories are bull crap. Of course, you know, there's people that, but I mean, their perception is what it is. It's their, what they're receiving. You know, do I believe that your refrigerator is haunted? I believe that your refrigerator has the possibility of being connected to somebody that has passed that might be pissed off that someone sold their refrigerator. It's that simple. So it comes down to the feeling. Do I believe that someone's just haunting your fridge? If they're crazy, they just found this whirlpool gold that they can't let go, you know? You got that Sub-Zero you paid a lot of money for, and then, you know, there's your relative, there's your nephew Herbert, the druggie of the family, selling your stuff on your lawn. And you're like, hey, that's my fridge, you idiot. I didn't even want you in my house, let alone selling my refrigerator. That's the emotion. That emotion exists on the other side. When you die with those emotions. Those are feelings. It's energy. So our emotions is energy. I always tell people who are going through a rough bout, never let somebody else's emotion control your own. Don't let people control you. You control you. And you can control you by tapping into that energy, at that inexhaustible energy. You can control you where nobody can get the upper hand. Because you know what? People suffer when that happens. It's a hard life. It can be anyway. And we're going into tough times. I mean, in our nation here in the United States, around the world, there's a lot of ignorance going on. And that drives energy too. And then all of a sudden people start feeling more emotional, you know, and then you might know people looking out for no reason. So, but this show really is more geared towards dealing with that loss and then communicating with those people that we love. So we talked about how to vibrate on that level. We talked about being there for that person and calling to them. You know, I've done investigations around holidays where people have called us in because of that, after Christmas, after New Year's. Oh, my God, I'm seeing shadow figures. You know, oh, my God, my keyboard's tapping by itself and stuff floating around. When you get that, you're like, ooh, you go right in, see what's going on. And then you get an assessment, and then you realize that people are there for the holidays. It's not like some earthbound, heavy, bad feeling, you know. But to my friends out there that are going through the loss, and then I've talked to two people individually recently, one right here on the show, about having a loss like that, and one guy was a good friend of mine from back in the day. We were friends since the 80s. We were friends forever, man. And then he died from type 1 diabetes. You know? And it's a heavy loss. You know what? And it's just going through the paces, and then I'm kind of detached in a way. I wasn't around the guy every day, but, I mean, he was big in my life for a while there. And then we lost touch and reconnected on social media. So, and then it was big in my life again on social media, just keeping up on what each other is doing. And that's like what social media is good for. You know, I think I'm friends online with all my friends from high school. And it's not like, even when they say, hey, give me a call. One, I don't like talking about the olden days, because the olden days for me weren't so great. And then, you know, number two, it's like to slate, and you guys will know what I'm talking about in this busy world, when you have to slate out hours and hours and hours to talk to somebody, and that's really what it comes down to, because they end up on the phone forever. You know, it's really just hard to do. And I don't know. It's easy just to keep up on social media. You do a one-liner here and there. You have a real quick conversation. So that's the world that we're in. Unfortunately, the young people are suffering a lack of communication skills because of this type of texting, because of this type of social media, or just showing pictures of themselves or taking dumb pictures of their face and, you know, whatever dumb expression they could do, and they put it out there. That's pretty much what we've got. So it's a double-edged sword, man. But yeah, and then this dude's best friend is also my friend. And just listening to these guys and looking at what they're putting out there and sharing with people, you know, and that's the best thing to do. You know what? Like get into that support group, but not one that's going to drag you down. And then one of my friends was going to a support group. She lost her husband. And then she said that it was very religious. I mean, it was a religious facility that had the support group, but they were pushing their religion, which is wrong to do in my book. If you have a support group, if you are a church that offers a support group, you shouldn't be selling your church. You should be selling the support group. You should be saying, okay, this is how you live your life. This is what you do to go forward. This is how you fill the void, you know. But there's no magic pill that you can just take. There's no magic wand you can wave around and become, you know. And what are you supposed to be, cold and shut yourself down completely? You lost your loved one and, oh, I don't care. F it, doesn't matter. No, of course not. People are going to feel it. So it's that heaviness that if you have a friend who's going through that, you need to be there for that friend. If you're going through that, you need to seek out the people that you love. And I know there's people that love you out there. I know they're out there. You need to seek them out. Or involve yourself, not in support groups, but in something that you like to do, even volunteering your time for an hour or two if you have the time, you know, but something that you like to do, a shared interest with somebody else, that you're just going to have a new beginning. You're going to invite new people into your life that will give you new energy. And every day it'll get easier and easier coping with that void. But always keep in mind, when someone loves you, they don't want you to suffer. If they really love you, they don't want you to suffer. They don't want you to hurt. They don't want you to feel pain. They want you to be happy, you know, and they're not going to be all petty jealous and say, oh, you can't ever be with someone physically. That's not important anymore when you cross over. There's so many things that we hold physically important to us here that don't mean anything there. And that's what you have to realize. You can't hold on to someone who has passed over. And also, there's a danger. When people do that, sometimes those people who crossed over have a hard time. They have a very hard time making that transition. A very hard time going forward and doing the things that they need to do so they can complete what the process. You know what I mean? And there's so many people that just, they want them. They pull them back. They want them back. They want them there. I see people writing it, you know, where's my husband? I woke up, he's not here, he's not next to me. Where's my wife? Where's my girlfriend? She's not here. Here it is, Thanksgiving and holidays. You know why people commit suicide during Thanksgiving and Christmas? Because it's heavy. It's heavy. And then when you lose someone, it's heavier. And then comes depression and despair. And there's people who make money off of depression, so you got to be careful. You got to be careful. When you seek out help, and the best help is those good friends of somebody who will understand, somebody who will not be tired of hearing it, somebody who will not turn their back on you, somebody who will always be there for you no matter what. You know what? And then a lot of people, I feel like if you're in a relationship, that person you're with should be your best friend, you know? And they're the ones who should know you the best, know everything about you. And that's tough to do, I think, in this world. I think it's hard even for people to be honest with each other in relationships, from what I'm hearing. I am, and I'm brutally honest, as a matter of fact, whatever I'm dealing with, you know, because I'm one with it, you know. I'm not on the outskirts of it. I'm not from the outside looking in. I'm the one living it. So I know how I want to be treated. I know how I can treat people. I know that I have a lot of love in my heart, and I give that love freely and happily because it makes me feel good. So maybe it's even selfish, you know. But, yeah, I think of my friends who have passed, you know, around holidays, of course, and things like that, and I don't know. It's just three tough ones in a row, isn't it? Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Eve, you know, New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. Three tough ones. And then you often wonder, like, why bother? Like, why do people put so much into these holidays? I like the lights. I like the cheer when it exists. I don't like the jeer because that also exists, you know. And then there's people who just are a drag to be around. You know, and you want to pump life into those people, sometimes you can't. Sometimes they just want to be in that hole. Sometimes you have to let them be in a hole for a minute. You just you know, there's only so much you can do. So if you lost that loved one, and I have friends reaching out to me right now. In fact, I have a slew of people, and I like talking to people about it, about these things, you know. And I'm also a PI, and I help people out with problems, you know what I mean? And then, man, it's just people want answers. You know, I'm dealing with one case that the cops say it was a suicide, but the people think that it was murder. And then people want answers. And then yet that person's gone. This is their son. He's gone. And they have to live with that every day. They have to know. They can't just pick up the phone and call their son, you know? You can't just pick up and call the phone. Call your husband. Call your wife if they've passed. That's the heaviness. And that's the thing that you got to get through. And that's the thing that you got to live your life. And it's most important thing to involve yourself. Go out of your house. Go anywhere. Go shopping. You know, walk around. Look at crap. You know what I mean? Just involve yourself in something else. Don't stay home. I had one friend say, oh, I'm just going to stay home for the holidays. You know, they just lost the love of their life a few months ago. Oh, I'm just going to stay home by myself, stay home. You can't do that. You got to go out. You got to have a good time. You know, I mean, even you don't have to go out and party. Go for a walk at the beach. This person lives by the beach. You go for a walk at the beach. Listen to the waves crash. Maybe think about that person. But don't let it drag you into the ground. And there's something to be said that maybe you shouldn't be making somebody else your whole life anyway. It's one thing to love someone and care for someone and be there for someone. But I know people that have made their other like their whole life. And when that person leaves in one way or the other, then their whole lives are destroyed. You know, then they start looking at other people and say, hey, what are you doing? You know, so it really is like closing a door, but you know where that door is. Closing that door and understanding that you have love in there. And when an experience happens to you, when someone comes around, you feel those hands on you. You're laying there in bed, or you're sitting there in a chair, watching TV, whatever the hell you're doing, and you feel like they're around. The other night, I was sitting there in my living room. I don't watch TV. So I watched The Walking Dead. So I have like a TV room if I want to go and watch that stuff. And otherwise, I like to look at the nature. I like to look at the view and the hills and, you know, whatever. The stars, the sun, whatever's out there. The birds. Whatever the hell's in my backyard. Coyotes, whatever. So I'm just sitting there chilling. And then all of a sudden, I start getting this scent of old lady perfume, you know, which is funny. And I'm like, what the hell is that? You know, there's no air freshener I have that's going to mimic something like that. I don't get down with chemicals, you know. I stay as far away from chemicals as I can. I'm like, what the hell is that? And I felt like somebody was there next to me. And then, in fact, the night before, I'm sleeping. My cat, who sleeps next to me, basically, three times during the night, starts howling. Ow! Ow! Right next to me. And he's like staring at the wall. He's like looking up at the wall. The wall's not doing anything. There's nothing on the wall. It's just a blank wall right there. He's sitting there staring up at the wall. Ow! Like, what are you doing? You're waking me up. You know? I go back to sleep. He's doing it again. It wasn't like the cat was asleep and started howling. He was standing up, facing that direction, looking up at the wall. And I felt like something was around. I felt like somebody was there. Somebody was around, you know, which was really interesting. And then that following day is when I smelled the old lady perfume. And the holidays are coming. And, yeah, it could have been anybody. And my grandmother's been on my mind a lot. And she used to wear that type of old lady perfume. Lily of the Valley, I think it was. I think it was there was a family joke going around about Lily of the Valley at one time. No offense to anybody out there that ever wore a Lily of the Valley. But this is how they communicate sometimes. This is how it happens. Sometimes they wake up your cat. Your cat wakes you up. Sometimes you'll be sitting there just, you know, chilling out. And they'll be around. You'll get that whiff. Or you feel like somebody grabbed your hand, you know, or someone touched you. They put their hand on your shoulder or whatever. I mean, you can't reject those. If you accept them and you realize what those visitations are and that they're happening, there will be more. So when I had my friend on, the dude that passed away, I had his wife on, she, you know, we were talking about this very same stuff on the show, yakking away. And then she said that she felt his presence around right away, and then after a couple of weeks, she didn't feel it since. Then we did that show, we talked him up, and the guy really loved bacon, and he was a drummer in like a thrash metal band, hardcore, you know. In fact, they had a big benefit for him back in September, like, well, a memorial, I guess, that type of thing. So we talked him up with bacon, and I think that night she said, the next day she gave me a text, and she's like, oh, my God, you know, I had an experience. And, you know, I felt him around. I felt like his arms were around me. And I laughed, and I'm like, well, we talked him up with All-American Burger and bacon, you know what I mean? And then, you know, because the guy really had an affinity for bacon. So it takes that kind of lightheartedness and that kind of love and humor and those good memories. It's like a key in the keyhole, you know. And when Peter and I go and do investigations, I always say that I feel like we build a bridge, that we're going into a place. I really feel like part of me is in one place, and part of me is in another. And this is, and we laugh, we joke, and we have a good time with it. We try to keep it as light as possible, no matter what the situation. Just try to keep it light, respectful but light. And then that's when they come through. That's when they communicate with you. That's when they want to talk to you. And keep in mind, we go into places where these spirits, they don't know us from a hole in the wall. We're just two idiots walking into a building in the middle of the night that's empty, basically, or sometimes a house, sometimes a business, but a lot of these places are just abandoned old places. They don't need to talk to us. They probably don't even want to talk to us. So, but I think when they realize that we are there to talk to them, I start calling out names, dates, any information that I can gather, trying to hit on something that's familiar, so they come forward, and they do. And they do. And they have a story to tell, because people like to tell their story. All of us. Doesn't matter if you've crossed over or not. You still have a story to tell. You still have something to say. Maybe you have a message to get somebody. Maybe you just have a message, leave me alone. We've gotten that, you know, from a girl that committed suicide, hung herself. She said, please leave me alone. She said, just leave me alone. That's what she said. Just leave me alone. And another time we went to that very same place, and then these people had hung up a Halloween decoration hanging in the window. In fact, it's on YouTube. So there was this Halloween decoration hanging in the window, you know, because the reports from this place called the Wayside Pub. It's in Elbridge, New York. Very haunted place. The police would go there in the middle of the night because the lights would be going on and off. There were people walking around on the top floor. Meanwhile, the building was empty. You know, I mean, so I could tell you tons of ghost stories that come out of that joint. So there was a girl over 100 years ago that hung herself when it was a place for wayward girls at one point. She had hung herself from some crazy love triangle. It was like a big, long story. And then in that same room, they had hung up this Halloween decoration that looked like someone hanging from a rope. So I'm sitting there shooting, Pete's in there with me, the owner of the pub is with us, and this guy is with us who didn't work there anymore, but he had several paranormal experiences being talked to and touched and all that as he worked there, and he couldn't work there anymore because of those experiences. So he ended up quitting, but he came back for us, which is pretty cool. He's with us. So, you know, we shoot these investigations in the total darkness, you know, and we use infrared cameras. So that's basically, we have headlamps with red lights on them so we can see, but, you know, we don't use the bright lights. Anyway, so we're walking around, and then through the camera, I see this thing hanging in the window. So I was like, oh, man. So I said to this girl who had hung herself, I said, how does that make you feel? Do you feel like they're mocking you? And then all of a sudden, someone threw something at us from the second floor up to the third floor, up the stairs. It hit, and it bounced down the stairs. It was loud. And it turned out it was an insert to some candle because, you know, it's a pub. And on the second floor, they had, like, a dining area where they would do parties, weddings, and that type of thing. So inside one of those candles was an insert. And then someone took that insert and chucked it at us. And then the owner and this other guy froze. They were screaming, as a matter of fact, like, oh, my God, ma. They couldn't get out of my way. Pete ran down the stairs to see what the hell it was. I finally get into the hallway. When I get into the hallway, I see some shadow figure run into another room at the end of the hall. So I'm calling for Pete to come back up. We go into that room. And then there's these other Halloween decorations, like mannequins. So this other dude who was with us, the one with the paranormal experiences, he went there first day, and he saw these mannequins, and he, like, flipped out. He was like, ah! It was very funny. But if you go to YouTube.com/Discovery Paranormal and look at the Wayside Pub, man, there was some really funny moments, actually, that funny, but wow, like some real moments. And there was nobody else in that building with us. We had about 20 cameras from top to bottom, and a lot of them are hunting cameras with a trigger time of a half a second. So if you're going to walk anywhere near that thing, it's going to capture you. And not including the stairs in the place were so rickety-crickety, if you weighed 20 pounds, we would hear you going up and down those stairs. So it was a very real experience, and people have real experiences there, you know. We built that bridge. When you build the bridge, they come through. When you say positive things to them, and not, oh, you got to be here, I miss all the stuff you did or whatever. How about just, you know what, I love you, I miss you, an acknowledgement of someone that was there. You know, I will see you again. I will see you again. You know, I'll be looking for you. I will see you again. Wait for me. I'll be there. That type of thing. Because there's a lot of that. And I think for the people that had their monster love, that's what they're thinking about. I know a lot of people. People that lost their love over 20 years ago, and they missed them like it was yesterday. And when the holidays hit, they get depressed. They feel sad. They go into this little cocoon. And that cocoon can be bad for you. That cocoon can be, you know, and I'm not going to knock psychiatrists and psychologists, but I think a lot of them aren't good at their job. And it's very hard to listen to someone talk and then help them in a situation. You know, you can give them a little bit of advice and direction and that type of thing, but the healing that has to happen, and this is the thing with medicine, you must heal. You must heal. And, you know, you've been hurt. You've been something taken from you. But you're also putting so much into it. And this happened to me when I have a dog that passed away. Man, I shut down for, like, weeks. For weeks. You know, he was my baby. You know, he had died of cancer. I had him for 8 years. Sweet, awesome, black lab, Doberman mix. Sweetheart. A real sweetheart. And then worst day of my life was when he had his first seizure. And then, bang, 3 weeks after that, he was dead. Doctor said 3 weeks he'll be dead. And he was. And it was just those 3 weeks, I didn't even want to talk to anyone or know from anyone. I just focused on him. And, you know, and then after that, I didn't want to go anywhere or do anything. I had friends that were stopping by, see if I was still alive, you know, if I was okay. If I was still clicking along, and it's rough, man. And there's a lot of people that say, oh, it's just a dog, what do you care? So those people will never understand. And you can't make them understand unless they get that same feeling you know, from a dog or a cat or a person, you know, but a loved one, I mean, when you're in a relationship with someone, there's a lot there. It's beyond a pet, right? Because there's a financial thing, there's a life thing, and then also there's a lot to do. Then there's the story you got to tell to everyone who asks you. So imagine if you were married to someone that had 500 friends. They all want to know what happened. So then you find yourself, well, I'm going to tell the story again. This happened, that happened, that happened, nothing I could do, whatever, right? So I think there's a repetitiveness to it that also adds to the dogma of the whole bit, and then that heavy loss. So I think that in the end, come on, Thanksgiving? I think that we need to give thanks for everything that we have every day. And if you love someone, let them know it. Don't hold back, because you don't want those regrets. You don't want to be the one afterwards saying, oh, I should have done this, and I should have done that, and maybe I should have done this, or I should have done that better, or I could say this better, or I could do more. You know what I mean? Do what your heart says. Follow your heart. Do the right thing. Love the people in your life and let them know it. And you don't have to let them know it by saying it. You let them know it by showing it, right? That's the whole bit. So doesn't matter if your parents, doesn't matter. I tell kids all the time, you know, kids that have the grandparents, grandparents, oh, my grandparents are annoying. I'm like, they're old. They're going to kick the bucket. You're going to miss them. They're going to be gone. You're not going to be able to call them. You're not going to be able to tweet something, and they're going to see it. They're not going to be able to text. They're going to be gone, you know? And then comes that loss. A lot of people who never experienced that loss will never know what it feels like, and that's the deal. So in this holiday season, will you guys, anybody out there, in the sound of my voice, anybody out there in the world, when you're feeling it, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling depressed, don't let it consume you. Get out there, meet people, greet people, try to find the good. There's a lot of negativity going on in the world. So what? That's the world's fault. That's the world's problem. You've got to just live your life. If you can make a difference, make a difference. But live your life. Don't let things get you down. Don't get pulled into a hole. If you lost that loved one, celebrate their life. Go out there and celebrate their life with your friend, with their friend. And then people tell me, oh, but all these guys are married and I'm alone and whatever. There's always somebody out there willing to chill out with you. And just because someone's married, they might have a family get-together. They're going to want you to be there. They're going to want you to be there to show that love. That's the most important thing. So in this holiday season, I will tell all of you that I love you guys. And be safe. Be aware. Understand where you are. Lao Tzu said, be aware of the time and the season. Understand what's going on. Understand where it's going on, when it's going on, how it's going on, and who's involved, right? And then if you feel, you know what, Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade coming, there's all kinds of threats, terrorist threats. If you feel like you shouldn't be somewhere, get out of there. Trust your feelings. Trust your feelings. Otherwise, you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Eat tons of turkey. Whatever you're going to do, do it. Don't hurt anybody. Keep your head low. Admit to nothing. If you lost a loved one, talk to them. Think about them. Pull them in. Embrace them. Love them. And then they'll be there for you. Mark my words. Have a great holiday, and I will see you guys on this year's show next week.